chapter number 3, book of Ephesians, and chapter number 3. I apologize ahead of time. When I've been preaching lately, I do a lot of blinking. Some of you have noticed that, especially my wife. She's very irritated about that, and she's let me know about that. And not as bad as me either. I thought it was the lights, but I think it's allergies, and I've started taking some allergy medicine to try to help that. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if I'm blinking up here, you'll know that it didn't work very well. Okay? But anyhow, I'm not sending any messages in code or anything like that. There's none of that's going on. It's just one of those things I'm trying to figure out and work through. A doctor gave me eye drops a while back, and I put those eye drops in, and I'm like, this does no good whatsoever. But he did charge me a good amount for those eye drops. And so I quit using them and trying to figure out what it was. And I think I know what it is, just got to get the right thing for it. But anyhow, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So anyhow, all right, Ephesians chapter number 3, and let's begin here tonight. I want to speak on this thought tonight of unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled dreams. Ephesians chapter 3, let's begin reading here in the latter part of this passage here with verse 12, and we're going to read through the rest of the verse. Ephesians chapter 3, how many of you got your Bible with you tonight? Amen. You've got the word of the living God in your hand. Thank God he gave it to us so we can have it and read it and know it and know his will. Ephesians chapter 3, let's begin here in verse number 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not of my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God wants us to be strong on the inside. Amen. Amen? Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 is my text. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the privilege to hear your word tonight. And God, we recognize we just need some food from heaven tonight in these next few moments, Lord, as we open the Bible. God, we need something from you, and help us, Lord, to come to you as a little child, hungry and want something from your word tonight. And God, we know that you will fill those who desire to be filled. And so, Lord, meet with us tonight. Some are tired. Some, Lord, have had a long day. And some, Lord, have had a trouble in their life or some burden in their life that has popped up this week. And Lord, I pray tonight the word of God would be rich unto them, that it would meet their needs, Lord, tonight, and that, Lord, we'd hear from heaven in this few times, few moments we have together as we preach the word. Bless it, we pray tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever lived in life, when you were young, had some kind of dream that you wanted to do or be in life? How many of you ever had a dream like that? I think most everyone has, whether you admit it or not. I think every child has these things they want to be. How many of you wanted to be an astronaut? Anyone want to be an astronaut? Nobody wanted to be an astronaut? All right. Maybe you want to be a garbage collector. Anybody want to be a garbage? That was your dream. You want to be. It didn't work out. One of our daughters, I can't remember who it was, wanted to be a Wendy's girl. That was her dream. I don't know. Who's that, Autumn? That was Autumn? Well, glad that changed. Amen. I might want some free burgers after the service, though. That would be the benefit, the side perk there, I guess. But I think we've all kind of had in our little mind when you're young, and I think sometimes people live their whole life long with a dream in their mind. I don't think just because you get old means you have to get rid of a dream in your mind. And now usually when you get old, you're too tired to dream. Amen. You've realized a better course or a different course in life, and your plans and your dreams have changed. But I think everybody in life has a dream. And you know, I got to thinking about the people in Scripture who had dreams. You know, they were normal people like us. David and Daniel and Solomon and the Apostle Paul, they're all people like us that I believe one day they probably had some dreams in their mind. We know the Apostle Paul, he had a dream. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was climbing a ladder. And in that day, if you were a persecutor of Christians, you were honored and upheld. And that was kind of like his badge, that he was becoming this up-and-coming new leader in the Jewish world. And he wore that badge proudly. In other words, I think it was his dream to move up and to become somebody or to do something and be known in that way. Not every dream is necessarily wrong or bad. Sometimes a person dreams the wrong thing in life. But I think everybody at some point in time has some dreams. I think a girl has a dream. You know what I found most girls? I have 4 daughters, 5 sisters, a mother, and a wife. So I know a little bit about ladies. But as soon as I get it figured out, they change it. They change the whole perspective. So I have to erase that. Once I get to know something, they change it on me. But I think every girl, every young lady has this desire. She wants to marry Prince Charming. Am I right, girls? Amen, right? And the ones that said amen have gotten there. Amen. The ones that were quiet, well, we won't go there. But anyhow, we have these desires. We have these goals, these dreams. Every girl likes to, they think of this wedding and this marriage, and they dream about a wedding. And I don't know where that comes from, but it's a very expensive dream, trust me. Amen. And they dream these dreams, and they dream about this home and the marriage, and everything's going to be peaches and cream, and they're going to tiptoe through the tulips every day of their life and walk hand in hand through the lavender fields with their husband and their wife. And I mean, I think a lot of people dream that dream. Then you get married, you know, you sit down at the dinner table and your husband's got milk running down his chin into his belly. And he's got cereal, walks around with cereal on his face all day long. And, you know, somewhere along the line, the dreams kind of change, okay? Right? Now, I'll be honest with you, it's a good dream to dream a dream where you want to get married, live your life for God, and serve the Lord the rest of your life. That's a wonderful dream. But, you know, I think a lot of people have a lot of different dreams in life. And hear me tonight, sometimes a dream can pull you away from really what God would have for you best in life. Because sometimes we get this dream in our head, it sticks, and God has a plan for us, and we just cannot get attached to it because there's a certain thing that we have in our head that we want. And it can't escape. It just stays there. It lives, and we feed off of it. But sometimes what God has for our life gets left on the wayside. And a lot of times, dreams become very unfulfilled. Now, I want to give you some thoughts about dreams, unfulfilled dreams. First of all, I mentioned this one. Everybody has some dreams. Everybody does. Everybody has some things in life that they're trying or would like to be. I know some people, they want to be a pianist. They want to be a concert pianist. And, some people in life want to be a good singer. Some people in life want to be a preacher. Some people in life want to be an astronaut or a Wendy's girl. But whatever it is, can I say secondly, most personal dreams never become fulfilled. Most of our dreams never become fulfilled. Now, what are some of the enemies to fulfilled dreams? Did you know when you make the wrong choices in life, it can destroy good dreams? Choices. And it doesn't matter how good the dream is, but if a person makes the wrong choices in life, it will destroy dreams. It can destroy a lot of things that you thought would be good to do in life. The wrong choices. See, the fulfillment of dreams is about making the right choices in life. When you make the wrong choices, you are really putting a dark cloud over your dreams or the ideas that you have in mind. A guy wants to go to college and be a scientist. Well, he's got to work hard. He's got to pay that bill. If he doesn't pay the bill, he doesn't get that degree. And if he doesn't get that degree, he can't be what he intended to be. He has to make the right decisions in order for the right dream to be fulfilled in life. So I want to say to you tonight, and every young person, hear me, your dreams will be destroyed if you don't have the desire to make the right decisions in life. Make right decisions so that the right dreams can be fulfilled. Right dreams, decisions. What kind of decisions do you make? How do you make decisions in your life? Do you make decisions? Do you make decisions based off of how you feel at the time? I got news for you. You will never fulfill the dreams that God has for you. You will never even fulfill personal goals in your life. If we live by the immediate, by the impulsive, our world is geared toward impulse. Whatever feels good at the moment, and you know what? People get sucked into that mentality, and they live defeated lives, unfulfilled dreams. If you want to have a good home and a godly home, you got to put the right ingredients in it. You got to make the right decisions. You got to make decisions. And when times get tough and you don't feel like making those right decisions, you got to stick with them, even when you don't feel good. And I think that is the hardest thing that I see most Christians be able to overcome is when they don't feel like making the right decision, they don't. They don't. And you know what happens? Our dreams get unfulfilled. And when a dream is unfulfilled, you live with negativity. You kind of live with a dark cloud over you. You kind of live like you're nothing, and it begins to affect you internally. Now, let me say secondly here. Sin can cause a dream to go unfulfilled. Did you know that? David had a dream, didn't he? He wanted to build the temple to God. You remember that? David wanted to build a temple to the Lord. It was his dream. But one day he disobeyed God and he numbered the people. And God said, all right, since you disobeyed me, you're not going to get to build that temple. And he got all the supplies for the temple ready, but Solomon, his son, He ended up building the temple, but it was a dream that was unfulfilled because he disobeyed God. Now, let me just tell you something. If you don't have the heart to obey God, you will see a lot of your dreams be destroyed and unfulfilled. Most dreams come and are fulfilled by somebody who is willing to follow God. And when the choice of the wrong path comes up, they have a godly fear of that. And they say, no, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. So I'm saying to you tonight, wrong choices end up becoming unfulfilled dreams. Sin in your life. You know what every Christian ought to do? Keep a short account with God. Amen. Keep a short account with God. If you feel any tinge in your heart or any drifting in your heart, get on your face before God, confess it, make it right there. Don't dilly-dally around. Keep a short account with God. Amen. And you will see more of your dreams fulfilled. Number three, I got to hurry. Many fulfilled dreams are never really fulfilling. Let me say that again. Many fulfilled dreams are never really fulfilling. Look at Solomon. You know, Solomon said, I had everything in the world. I made me pools of water. I had men servants. I had maid servants. He had all these wives. He had all these concubines. Like the kid in the Sunday school said, he had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. I think there was a scriptural misinterpretation right there. But he said, I mean, Solomon had everything at his hand. The greatest king, he was the king of the greatest kingdom on earth at this time. And he said to us something. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He was trying to get us to understand that our plans and the things we think are so fulfilling really are not that fulfilling. I mean, you know, you get that new car, you dream about that new car or that home, that car. And you know what? I'm telling you, after about 5 or 6 years, you just throw your trash in the back seat. Amen. They take that car after about 20 years, they smash it down, put it in, they melt it down and make new cars out of it. Nobody's driving a new car. You may be driving a 1932 Packard. They take all these cars. And Solomon made this point. He said, I had some dreams in life. I had some dreams of what I thought was success and what I thought was good. And Solomon said, I got it all. And I found out that it's really not as fulfilling as I thought it would be. Can I tell you, don't be fooled by great riches. They really are not that fulfilling. And like Nelson Rockefeller said, he said, I have great riches, but the problem with having great riches is now I have to find ways to keep my riches. What a trap in life. What a false way to live consumed. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's some things a lot worse than poverty. Some things are a lot worse than having nothing. And Solomon had everything, and he got down to the end. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's really not that fulfilling. How many of you know a historical man named Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great was a Greek conqueror. And he conquered much of the known world right before the Romans came in and reconquered all the world. But, excuse me, Alexander the Great got down one day and he sat down and he said, he started crying. And they asked him why he was crying. He said he was crying because there were no more lands to conquer. His dream was to conquer lands and to conquer the world. And once he had reached a pinnacle in that, he sat down and cried. He sat down and cried. And, you know, in our lives, we oftentimes make these dreams so consuming in our life. And when we finally get there, we realize they really aren't as fulfilling as we thought. Now, this sermon's been pretty depressing so far. Because some people have a dream and it gets unfulfilled. Most people don't have dreams. And then those that actually do fulfill their dreams, it usually isn't that fulfilling. So where are you going with this, Pastor? Is there anything fulfilling in life? When we look in Scripture, and we see this. Sometimes God changes dreams. Sometimes God changes dreams. If you were to go in your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 9, we see the Apostle Paul, who was had this goal of moving up. He was being somebody. He wanted to go somewhere. I mean, he was pursuing this life that in his mind was his dream, his goal. He was hot on the trail of fulfilling his dreams. And God came along in Acts chapter 9 and struck him with the light. The light shone from heaven, and he fell on his face, recognizing that it was God. And as he was on his way to Damascus, in fulfillment of this dream life he had, God strikes him down right there. And Paul realizes, I'm going the wrong way. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? God changed his dream, didn't he? God changed this idea that he had in mind. And a dream is nothing more than an idea that we think will be fulfilling. But he, right there, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know the rest of the story. God took him and took the scales off his eyes, and they led him. And for a few years, Paul was trained, and Paul and Barnabas, and went to the church at Antioch, you know. And he learned a different way. And for a long time, the early church was afraid of Paul because they thought he was going to persecute him. But what happened? God changed him. God changed his dream. And I want to tell you something tonight. If most of our personal dreams never become fulfilled, and the ones that do become fulfilled really don't end up being fulfilling, that is why God often steps into our life and says, I've got something for you in your life. I'll change your plans. I'll take the plans that you thought were so grandiose and so fulfilling. See, that's what everybody's searching for in life. Everybody's searching for that thing that they think is going to make them fulfilled. And the world cannot produce anything like that, no matter how hard we try. Go after that thing that you think you will make you fulfilled and will make you. Go after it. And you'll find once you get it, it really doesn't have that glamour and that glitter to it. But when God took the Apostle Paul and changed his dream, he didn't go to Damascus anymore. He began to serve the Lord. He began to live for God. God changed his dream. And hear me, there's a day when he died. And when he died, he got to the end of his life. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. My life is over. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What Paul was saying is, I'm glad God changed my dream. I'm glad God changed my dream and gave me a new dream, because this is what has fulfilled my life and given me real peace and real genuine joy in life. I met a man years ago. He was a young guy. His goal was to make $1 million. I was a pastor in Denver, and I was working as a courier. And I delivered a package to this man in Denver. And he was, I gave him a package and he was all excited. He said, yep, I'm on my way. I'm making $1 million. I'm making $1 million. The same time he got a call, and on this call, he was just going crazy. His wife called and said, we're getting a divorce. We're splitting up. You know what that man needed? That man needed God to step in and change his plan in life. Now, I want to tell you something. You may have this idea in your mind, as we all do, of what we think is going to fulfill us. But when the Apostle Paul allowed God to change his heart and change his mind, I want to tell you something. It made him a fulfilled man in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm saying to you that God changes dreams. You know, Abraham was doing fine in the Ur of Chaldees. He was a rich man, a successful man. Sheep, cattle, servants. I mean, he had it all. And God came to him and changed his plan one day. He said, Abraham, I want you to get up out of the Ur of Chaldees, and I want you to go out into a land. He said, well, where do you want me to go? And the Lord said, just go. But Lord, where am I going? God said, you're going with me. God took him from a life of security to a life of what's next. He got out of his comfort zone, but God was leading him. God was taking care of him. God had him going in the right way. And God even led him all the way down into Egypt, brought him back up. And God took Abraham and made of him the children of Israel and the nation of Israel. Because he allowed God to change his plan. I bet Abraham, when he got to heaven, he said, I'm sure glad I allowed God to change my plan. Amen. My plan was my plan, but God had a better plan for me. Can I say to you, young person, you may have a plan, you may have a dream. But do you realize that God is able to take your dreams and make them better plans? Better dreams. Better things. Eternal things. Things that last. Things that bring genuine fulfillment, genuine joy to our life. Abraham, even Daniel, was pulled up, him and the three Hebrew children pulled up out of their home and brought to a foreign land. God sure had a change of plans. Brought them to Babylon, and there they were to serve a false king, and the king recognized that God had his hand on them. And it was there in Babylon, in that situation, that we got from inspired by God, the book of Daniel in the Bible, all because God changed Daniel's plans, and Daniel's plans, he let God change his plans. Can I ask you something? Do you realize that God can change our plans and make our plans much better than the unfulfilled plans that we thought were so fulfilling and so good? The missionary, you know, every one of these missionaries at one time had a dream in their mind. They had a goal, a plan, a thought, something they thought would fulfill them. But God began to work in them. And God began to work in them and change their life, change their heart. And they began to realize that the pursuit of God is so much more fulfilling than the pursuit of any earthly thing that we thought would bring us fulfillment and joy. When you find God's will for your life and willingly take your dream and set it over here and pursue God's will and ask God what you should do with your life, I want to tell you something. Get ready, because you're getting ready to find a fulfilled life. Amen. And that life is the greatest life you could ever live. Amen. It doesn't mean God calls everybody. God doesn't call everybody. If God called everybody, there'd be no people to preach to. God doesn't call everybody. But there is a will and a plan of God for you that you will miss if you are so focused only on the plan that you think will bring you fulfillment. But if you yield to God every day and say, God, you lead me. When you go to buy that car, say, Lord, I'll only buy it if you want it. See, sometimes in life, we have to give up our plan, but not so that our plan is worse, but so that God's plan is better. And we have to recognize that God's plan is better. Now, that's a long way around to get to my text. Don't think that was just the introduction. That really was the sermon, okay? All right, but now I want you to notice the text. And here's what Paul says in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that, what's the next phrase? We ask or think, according to the working, or according to the power that worketh in us. See, God says, if you let me work inside of you, I can do something that is greater far beyond, because I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. I am able, God says, I am able to take what you give me and make it so much better. The little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes found that out. He found out when you give God a little bit, he multiplies it so much. But you know what, child of God? We have to be willing every day, whether you're a call of God or not, every day our goal and our heart ought to be to, Lord, I want to do your will today. I don't want to do mine. I set my plan, my dream over here. Lord, the only dream I want is the dreams that you want for me in my life. You know what that's called? It's called surrender to God. That's called giving God everything. I read today the story of Billy Sunday, how he was a up-and-coming baseball player, I think back in the 20s. He was known as the fastest ball player on the planet. Fast. And they were in Chicago, and he went by the Pacific Garden Mission, and he heard a preacher preached. And you know what? God changed his life right there. You know, he could have said, no, Lord, I don't want it. I've got a baseball career. I'm playing baseball. But he allowed the working of God in his life. And you know, God took his life and used it so much greater for his glory than he ever could hitting balls over a fence. So I'm saying tonight, that God has a plan. God has a will. If we'll do it, we're trusting in this God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, that's the key, is letting God work in us. Letting God work in us. And when God's working in us, his plans and his will and his way are perfect. You see, when trouble comes in life and you're in God's will, it's okay. You know why? Because it may be God's plan that you go through that trouble. And it's better to have trouble in God's will than to have a smooth sailing life outside of God's will. It's better. It's better. God takes our life as he works in us through his word and his will, and he gives us real fulfilled dreams and real fulfilled plans because he's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a great God we serve. Amen. What a God, how amazing he is. How amazing he is what he can do. We have this plan in our mind, and God looks down. I think God looks down and says, you know what? You got a puny little plan there. Your plan ain't really much. If you want to fulfill it, go ahead, but it's really not going to make you as happy as you think you could be. But if you come along with me and do my will, I'll show you what I can do. Oh, listen. when God shows us what we can do because we've yielded to Him and let Him lead our life, like Abraham saw, like Daniel saw, like the Apostle Paul saw, like every great child of God in the Bible saw. They saw there was a God who could do more than they could ask or think. You know, when the children of Israel got pulled out of Babylon, they never thought they'd enter in that fiery furnace. And I'm sure they didn't want to go in, and I'm sure they had some fear. But when they went in that fiery furnace, there was a fourth man in that fire, wasn't there? He was like unto the Son of God. And that Son of God took him, was with him. And the Bible says that they came out of that fiery furnace and didn't even smell like smoke. And the king said, "Though their God is the one to serve." See, God took the life that they may have thought was going in the wrong direction. But when it was yielded to Him, God took and blessed it. And I say to you this in life, if you yield to God and surrender to God every day, whatever that pathway is that God leads you and directs you in, even if there's negative things in it and hard to deal with things in it, I want you to know, put your faith in God. He'll carry you through it, and you'll see a God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's one more ingredient, and then I'm done with the message. One more ingredient. That is the power of prayer that God has given us. When you're serving God and things don't go well, you have this open avenue in prayer to go to God. He said, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." He said, "Step right up. Come right to me. And give me your petitions. Put them all on me. And trust God and see what a great and mighty God will do with what we give Him." And you know, the truth is, when we give God ourselves, we're not giving Him much. But when He works in us, He takes us and makes something beautiful out of our life. And that is a fulfilled life. So I say to you tonight, you have a dream in your heart. Your dream may not fulfill you like you think it will. But I'll promise you one thing. When you desire God's plan and God's will, whatever that is, when you desire God's plan, and however difficult road that may seem, you will see this God that the Apostle Paul saw. Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or what we think. That's the God we serve. So the answer is to give God our lives, surrender to Him. Every day, put our heart on that altar and say, "Lord, I'm yours today. I'm yours today. Your dream is mine, God. What your plan is, I want my plan. Help me to make your plan my plan." And that's how God takes us and gives our life fulfillment and blessing. Are you still struggling in your dream? I know many people, especially young people, they're stuck in their dream. And it's giving them frustration. But if you yield to God, say, "Lord, I think I'm going to change my dream. I think I want my dream to be what you want me to do." And trust God. And God will bless your life because He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So tonight I ask you, what's your dream? Is your dream God's dream? Is your dream God's dream? God has a plan for us and a purpose for us. And He just wants us to work, allow Him to work in us.